Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Thursday, the day where we try to live out and apply what we've been learning all week. This week we're talking about pioneer pushback, how the first followers of Jesus didn't exactly have an easy ride, but fairly early on in their ministry of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, they received a fair bit of pushback and persecution for what they were proclaiming. We've particularly been studying how the pushback came from some of the ruling religious authorities of their day, relating to the temple, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and thirdly, the Sadducees, a ruling council of elites, who took exception for three reasons that we studied yesterday. Their doctrine, their beliefs about the resurrection. Secondly, their power in the message, that things were actually happening that couldn't be controlled around this. Sadducees wanted to be in control. And finally, we saw that the apostles weren't respecting their position in society. They were speaking with a boldness that the Sadducees certainly didn't appreciate. The Bible says this was simply astonishing to those ruling elites, that these uneducated men could be boldly proclaiming something like they were. You see, we're used to thinking of Christianity as the religion of the ruling elites. We're used to it being something established in Western society with power, and we're not used to thinking of it in these terms, right, are we? As a revolutionary movement that was being oppressed and pushed back on by the authorities. But that's how Christianity started and thrived, and maybe what we're going back to in society too. It's possible as well that the Sadducees were offended by Peter's final claim. But I think it's even more likely that we in Western society today are offended by Peter's final claim in this passage, which is, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That statement sounds very exclusive to us with our Western ears. We are challenged by that because we live in a culture that very much values diversity and values the idea of religious freedom and religious peace. And one of the ways our society has tried to pursue that is by simply saying all religions are the same or are equally valid. We should never try to attach any truth claims to any religion. We should just make it a personal, private matter. Unfortunately, that's a very narrow, very Western view of things that's certainly not shared by the majority of people in our world. One of the reasons Peter can get away with making such an exclusive claim is because it all comes down to the resurrection, because it all comes down to Jesus. Peter isn't saying that Jesus is the only name by which people can be saved because it's convenient for him or because he thinks he'll gain power by it. In fact, he goes to the death for it. He says it because Jesus said it, because Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus backed it up by actually sacrificing himself, dying, and then rising again from the dead, destroying death's power to keep us away from God. See, Jesus didn't just talk about what he was representing, what he was about. He didn't just say, you know, oh, I'm the way to God, follow me. He actually did something. And you see, it's okay for Jesus to say those things and for others to say those kinds of exclusive things because Jesus was the only one who said them himself. There's no other religious leader who's ever claimed to be the only way to God, to be God himself, and he's backed that up with action that's recorded in history, like Jesus's death on the cross. It's unique, and so it's okay to say unique things about that unique event in history. It's not a matter of opinion when there's historical fact associated with it. We can be very tempted in Western society to debate the exclusiveness of the claim, when in fact we should be debating whether the claim itself is true or not. We can basically just look at the claim, and if it's true, and this is a unique solitary event in history, then it is an exclusive claim, and it's still true. If it's false, on the other hand, then we don't need to waste our time deciding whether it's okay to make an exclusive claim or not. If it's false, it's false. Who cares? Move on. However, Peter portrays the resurrection of Jesus to be a unique, exclusive event in history, and he opens it up for everyone. You see, he makes exclusive claims about Jesus Christ that he says are inclusive of all of humanity. All of humanity can come to know this Jesus because he's resurrected from the dead. He is the unique, exclusive person who can reconnect them with their God who created them. See, by saying something exclusive, Peter actually says the most inclusive thing possible. Jesus has done something unique that no one else on earth has ever claimed to do or can do. And yet, he invites each and every one of us to participate in it. That's great news. That's the most inclusive, exclusive word you can ever hear. Secondly, there's power that the religious authorities are worried about. You see, right in front of them, they have a man who's just been healed by Peter in the name of Jesus. Something actually happened. They can't just prove it. He's there. He begged at the temple every day. People like the Sadducees, people like the temple guards would have recognized this man as a regular beggar at the temple. And here he was walking now. That would have presented the religious authorities with a real challenge. There's power in what Peter is saying and doing. Power that they don't have, and they want nothing more than power and stability for their jobs. They want the sacrifices at the temple to keep going for those priests. They want peace at the temple for the temple guards, and they want power for the Sadducees to be in charge. Peter, a simple fisherman, boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ, actually threatens all three groups. No wonder they line up against him and the other followers of Jesus. Because they proclaim the resurrection, they do it with power, and they do it boldly. What about us? Can we, should we do the same in our day? What would it look like? A recent study of Canadian Christian Protestant churchgoers who attend church at least once a month asked these Christians if others in their lives knew that they were followers of Jesus or not. Unfortunately, only 3 in 10 said that many people in their lives knew that they were Christians. Only 3 in 10 of people in their lives actually knew what was supposed to be at the center of those Christians' lives, what they claimed to follow with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And yet it's hidden from the vast majority of people they know. That presents a challenge for us. If we're truly going to follow Jesus in our day, we need to find ways to proclaim the good news of Jesus and his resurrection as good news in a way that has power, in a way that transforms people, and to do it boldly without being afraid of it. And so I'm going to challenge you to try that out today, just in a small way, and then to build on it from there. Your challenge is I want you to find a way today to tell somebody that you're a follower of Jesus. I don't want you to be a jerk about it. I don't want you to be pushy. I just want you to find a way to let them know that you think about things differently, you see things differently, and why. To mention where it comes from. If they ask a follow-up question, they want to know a bit more about it, make sure you mention the resurrection. It is the core belief about Christianity, that Jesus isn't dead, but he's alive. And so just find a way to mention that that's what you believe in. You believe Jesus came, died, and rose again. You don't have to explain the whole thing today. Start a relationship where you can get to know one another, maybe read the Bible together, build a relationship of friendly discipleship rather than trying to hit somebody over the head today. So for today, all I want you to do is find an opportunity to tell somebody you're a follower of Jesus who died and rose again. See where it leads. Are you scared? Well, I want you to be able to do it boldly. So take some time to pray about it. And if you chicken out today, tomorrow we meet again for prayer and reflection. So we'll pray about it again then. Well, I pray for you. I hope you'll pray about this. Can't wait to hear some stories about how it goes. Bye for now.